You're listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. Today I'm going to finish the Trump speech and my comments on it. I had time to read the entire speech. It's much better than even I thought it was. So I encourage you to go to pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's the companion blog for my show. And below my picture, you'll have links to the last 60 to 80 shows. This is show 710, and I'll post it by 10 o'clock tonight. And listen to the entire speech without my comments. Because I intentionally, instead of breaking it up into small clips, broke it up into three parts and let him talk, and it really is an outstanding speech. But there's a couple of points, and this is not criticism. It's just, I think, hints of what he might do. And that's the frustration of a lot of people. I understand there's a great temptation amongst politicians to say, elect me, and I have a plan, and if you elect me, I'll execute the plan, and we'll make America great again. Well, that simply doesn't cut it. That's promises, 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 and the people want results. Promises don't cut it, because what's the issue of this election? It's trust. Fundamentally, this, and I've said this for over a year, and the political class really doesn't understand this. I'm convinced that they don't want to understand it. That's a better way to understand it. It's not that they can't understand it. If you lie to people, not once, but many, many times, what happens? People don't believe you, they don't trust you, and they slowly but surely either don't listen, or if they're smart, if they're working for you, they leave. It's a problem. And what President Obama doesn't understand, people don't trust him anymore. And they don't listen to him. And Hillary Clinton has the same problem. If anything, I think worse, because she has a longer history. Now, after saying this, I know in either party or any party, there are always going to be a hardcore of people that are the true believers. They have drunk the Kool-Aid and the person can do no wrong. And they're usually young people, teenagers, people in their 20s. But eventually they become disillusioned. It takes time, but it happens. And what I strongly suspect is this. Every organization or political party, especially on a national campaign, should be doing polling, but the instructions to the pollster is very important. I want the truth. I don't want it sugarcoated. I don't want the polls tilted in any way. I have to really know what's going on. That is entirely different than these public polls, especially those that are put out by who? Big lie media. They will tilt them. Now, that would typically, especially now and immediately after, from now until after the convention, they're going to tilt them. But as you approach election day, they too have to have a credibility. And what invariably happens in all these races, the poll numbers get closer and closer. Yet they want to make you think that Hillary Clinton's going to win. I don't think she's going to win. Now, I don't have access to either party's candidates' polls. All I have to go by is the national polls. Now, I'm telling you this is because you, ladies and gentlemen, and me are being manipulated. And you got to be careful of these polls. What you really want to do, if you can get access to it and really do your homework, and most people don't do this, they don't have time. They're working, they have lives, politics at best is a distraction for them. They don't really focus until September, October at the latest, some even the week of the election, until they finally make up their mind. There are people right now that have made up their mind. I haven't made up my mind other than I will never vote for Hillary Clinton. I won't vote for any Democrat Party candidates. And more or less, I have the same problem with many of these Republicans because most of them are bought and paid for and sold out. They've sold you and me out. They've been very disappointing. And I say this because it goes to the issue or the concern of trust. And the politicians that have been around through many elections, people compare what they say to what they've done. And when there's discrepancy, that's when doubt sets in, and eventually they come to the conclusion, I can't believe this person, I don't trust this person, I don't want anything to do with this person, I'm not going to vote for this person. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to vote for the other party at all. What it means is they're going to stay home. That's why a lot of effort is paid to turnout. And that takes a large organization, knocking on doors, contacting people. And you don't do it the last minute. You got to be doing this, really, right after the convention on with an organization, and it's not a top-down organization. This has to be local grassroots. And that, frankly, is one of the weaknesses of the Trump campaign. And hiring an expert is not going to solve it. An expert might be able to organize that. It takes months, some would say years, to truly develop a grassroots campaign. That's why I've more or less given up on both parties. They're both been corrupted as government has gotten bigger and bigger, as you have a government that's totally out of control, and this government is out of control. Corruption sets in at various levels, not only at the politician level, but at the bureaucracy level. Now, Donald Trump uses the phrase, the game is rigged. Well, that's one way to describe it. I would focus on corruption and how do you get rid of it. And the way you get rid of it is close permanently bureaucracies. You can't fight it on a case-by-case basis, even if you win some. That's what lawyers want you to do. Well, we need to fight them in the courts. Lawyers love that. That'll keep them busy to the end of time. See, the game that Congress has been playing, and this has been going on for over 100 years. This is not new. At least 125, and I can make the case since the founding of this country. You're always going to have corruption where people with wealth buy access. And in olden days, and even today, there was bribery. And many times, most times, if it was done well, you never heard about. Why would you? You get a bag of money or suitcase of money, and then you deliver the votes. Who's the wiser? The answer is very few people. Obviously, the person doing the bribing is not going to tell people what's going on. And the person accepting the money is not going to do it. It's a little bit more difficult today because of banking laws and the banks are really spying for the government on you. That's another reason to do away with the IRS, by the way. But I want to highlight something that he says in the speech that I hope I'm not overemphasizing this. And this is really, I debated whether to wait to the end or to highlight it up front. And I'll read a couple of sentences. We will make America the best place in the world to start a business, hire workers, and open a factory. This includes massive tax reform to lift the crushing burdens on American workers and businesses. I applaud that. But here's where I get to the specifics. I've read Donald Trump's, and you can read it yourself by going to the Trump website on his positions. He has his outline of what he calls tax reform. And I also know what the Republicans are doing. They're tweaking the Internal Revenue Code. That was, if that's the path you're going to take, you've already lost. That's a loser's game. And what do I mean by that? And I said it yesterday. And I'll say it again because it deserves repeating. It assumes, first of all, that you're going to control the House and Senate for eternity. You're not. The first time the Democrats take control of the House, the Senate, and the White House, what are they going to do? They're going to repeal all of that. And that's what's been going on. It's a game of ping pong, if you will. And it's self-defeating, but the worst aspect of that, and businessmen and women know this, you need certainty. That's the ideal, is you need to be certain what the tax code or regulations are going to be. How much do I have to pay the government? And what's happened, and this is a long history, ever since the income tax came to be the primary revenue source. And it started in 1913, and it's got, guess what, progressively worse. Originally, it was a soak-the-rich scheme by the Democrats. Now, that's originally what it was intended to do. Now, it's hurting the middle class in this country. It's hurting businesses. It's an impediment, a huge impediment to the growth of this country. And that needs to stop. You need certainty as to who pays the taxes and how much. And the important point is you don't give your opponent a method to open the door, walk in, and trash everything you've done. But you see, that's what the Democrat and Republican Party wants. Why? Well, you better donate to my campaign, my party, if you want the tax code the way you want it. The Democrats play this game, so the Republicans and the donor class, they welcome this. This is a way you buy politicians. And it's not just access. Don't give you large amounts of money because they like you. They expect something for it. They believe you owe them. Whether it's a bribe or a legal campaign contribution, they expect to be paid off. In other words, they expect you to stay bought. And the problem is, many, I would say most, I didn't say all, but most of your professional, I keep using that word, they're not professionals, other than a professional crook. These career politicians, the ones that have been there 10, 15, 20, 25 years, and stay there, and seldom have primary challengers, and usually win, they have the incumbent advantage, with few exceptions, are bought and paid for by different people, but bought and paid for. And their colleagues know who bought and paid for them and know how they're going to vote. What I'm leading up to is this, and this is staring the politicians in the face. They know that a number of their colleagues, I would say somewhere between 80 to 100 in the House and the Senate, favor a broad-based consumption tax. The problem up to now, we have not had a presidential candidate that will come out for it and win the nomination. The closest we came, but I had problems with them, other problems, was Mike Huckabee, Governor Mike Huckabee from Arkansas. He understood that the fair tax was the way to go. And I think Donald Trump, at least what he's trying to do, is to help the middle class. Now, let me continue. Or pick up where I left it. This includes massive tax reform to lift the crushing burdens on American workers and businesses. We will also get rid of wasteful rules and regulations which are destroying our job creation capacity. And conclusion, not of the speech, but the thought. Many people think that these regulations are even a greater impediment than the fact that we are one of the highest tax nations in the world. Actually, he's right. I'm not saying he's not right. But there's two things that need to go together. As long as you keep the income tax code, those, you know, I used to be in the financial services industry. I am a CPA. I never practiced as a CPA. I have a number of credentials after my name. I've retired from that over 10 years. Okay. But what I'm trying to say is, and I've done courses and work and tax research, for example. Because every decision, unfortunately, of businesses and investors, you got to think of the taxes. And see, that's what's wrong, fundamentally wrong, with the tax system that we have. You get different answers. Because you got to consider, well, what are the tax ramifications of doing it? Should we structure the deal a little different? I think Donald Trump understands this. He probably understands it much better than I do. If you're in real estate, you better understand it. And there's some terrific advantage of the income tax code. And that's why he made that proposal that he did. And you can go to his website and look at it. But I think he's missing the big picture here. And if he wants to win and really win in a landslide and fundamentally change this country and attract capital to it, he needs to go for some version of the consumption tax. I think the Fair Tax proposal and organization was a great place to start. I say start. I made a couple of changes to that, what I call Fair Tax Less. The rate of the tax simply is too high. I put it at 20%, but I'm not happy with 20%. I think it could and should be brought down as low as possible, but that's going to take time. You all, whenever you have a major change, and this would be a major change because you're no longer taxing income. For those that missed the first show, there's no taxes. Let me say it real clear. We would replace all federal taxes. I emphasize all federal taxes with one tax, the Fair Tax Less. So there are no more income taxes. There's no more capital gains taxes. There's no more payroll taxes for Social Security, Medicare, and disability. So no longer do you have the personal income tax. No longer do you have the corporate income tax, partnership taxes, estate and gift taxes. There's no taxes on your investment gains. Let me say that again. There are no taxes on investment gains. In other words, there's no capital gains. And the reason why that's important, that attracts investment to this country. In other words, if you make a good investment, the return is yours. You don't think that would result in a real estate boom, an investment boom, a boom in building factories, plants, equipment, highways, investment in computers, software, you name it. You see, one of the problems that the United States has is our savings rate has slid down, down, and down. You want to encourage people to save and invest. That's called an incentive, a positive incentive to save and invest. No taxes on savings and investment. And you can invest whatever you want to. It could be for a college education. It could be to open a business. It could be for your retirement. It could be to take a trip. I'm not telling you what to spend it on. But here's the catch, because people have asked me, well, what's the catch? What's the catch? Well, we have to pay for government. I want limited government, but you still have to pay for government. The most essential function of government is to protect its people and its property, both domestically and from abroad. That's the way Trump should have answered that debate question that I got. We need a strong national defense, and we need to make sure that our borders are secured, and we're not letting in, by having open borders, people that want to take our lives and our property. Sleepers, terrorists, no matter what country they're from, the Islamic State or the Islamic Republic of Iran or Syria or Russia or China. It's a dangerous world. And we are very much the envy of the world because for much of our history, not recent history, but for much of our history, the reason why we have the highest standard of living today is because we've been a relatively free country. However, our freedoms have been eroded, largely by a globalist elite, the executives and owners of multinational corporations. And I studied them very early in the 60s. I know what's going on. But my point, the fair tax or consumption tax, broad-based consumption tax, my version of it, the rate would be 20%. That's the inclusive rate. In other words, and I'll give this example before I start paying Trump. When you buy a loaf of bread today, and the price of the bread is, let's say, a dollar loaf, I'm trying to keep the numbers simple, and you go to the cash register, scan it, give them a dollar, in that dollar, 23 cents on average is paying for all those taxes that we have today. They're already embedded in the price of bread. Now, if we replace all federal taxes, income taxes, personal, corporate, partnership, estate and a gift, the alternative minimum tax, all of that goes away. We're replacing all of those taxes with one tax. So what should happen is that dollar bread should go down at least 23 cents to 77 cents. What I'm saying is we'll have a 20% tax. So you still pay the dollar loaf of bread has not gone up in price, or a $100,000 car if you're in that income bracket. There are taxes in that they're embedded in. So when all the taxes go away, all those prices should drop, but we got to pay for the government. What we're changing is the method of tax collection. Namely, you pay it at the cash register when you check out or buy any new, and I emphasize new, not old, new goods and services. To get smart on this, first, and there's a lot of information on YouTube on the fair tax. And I'll add a little bit more to these posts. Now, the reason I'm emphasizing this is you need to capture the imagination of the American people. Taxes can be very dry. And you notice you don't talk about it very much unless you give them very general statements. But the American people, this is not hard to understand. We're going to do away with all federal taxes, replace it with one single tax. It's 20 cents, and you give the bread example. People understand that if you explain it to them. But first, you have to understand it, and that's the key, because there are some obvious questions. That's why I suggest a starting place is go to YouTube, and there's very short videos answering a lot of those questions. I don't have time to do that. The reason I'm emphasizing this is he's already set the stage. This will include massive tax reform to lift the crushing burdens on American workers and businesses. Now, let me give you why the American people will go for this. Because one of the criticisms that you initially get, and you got to respond to it, well, this would hurt the poor. They'll try to say it's a sales tax. No, it's not a sales tax. Well, what do you mean? They got to pay 20 cents. Well, it's already in the price anyway. They're paying it right now. And actually, you're going to pay a little less. But you said we're not going to pay payroll taxes. Yeah, well, how are you going to get the money? We're going to tax consumption. We're not taxing income. We're switching from an income-based system that costs the American people, and it costs you and me and businesses, $500 billion, and it keeps going up, up, and up because it's too complicated. That's to prepare just the tax returns to tell the government how much that you owe them. In other words, you're spying on yourself. The founding fathers would say, are you crazy? This is a massive invasion of privacy. And it is. And that's just the private sector cost. We have tens of thousands of IRS employees. You need to shut them down. You need a small tax bureau to replace them. And they're primarily bookkeepers. And they're going to have to do something productive. They're going to have to be producers, not collectors, producers. The IRS is not going to like this. If you work for the IRS, they don't like this. And you see, here's the problem. A lot of businesses, a lot of politicians are intimidated by the IRS. That's why they don't go near it. That's why they continue to support the income tax. And that is hurting, fundamentally hurting the United States. That's why I dismiss any of these politicians, and that included Trump and Cruz and Rand Paul, because, oh, we're going to simplify it, we're going to make the rate low, and it's a postcard, you've heard all of that. I used to be a big advocate for the flat tax. Not anymore. If you see something better, most people say, I want that, I don't want this, I want that. I've yet to meet a businessman, an individual, oh, really, I love filling out those returns. Oh, I love paying all that money to my CPA or a lawyer to fill out these returns. No, they don't. They hate it. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a waste. It's not the way you should go about collecting taxes. You should make it easy and efficient and transparent, and everyone pays the same rate. And the rate is 20%. Now, here's the icing on the cake. And here's where Donald Trump can talk about it either by teleprompter or in his mass rallies. Oh, didn't I tell you the great news? Every adult American citizen, 18 years of age and over, let me say that again, every adult American citizen, 18 years or older, will get a check from the United States government every month for $1,000. And in a year, they will get $12,000 of these checks. It's called a tax prebate. You're familiar with a rebate where you buy something, you send some information in, and they give you some money back. And most people don't even bother with it. Some people do. Well, this is a prebate. You get it up front. What is that for? It's to pay for every American out there, the essentials or the necessities of life. Your food, the roof over your head, basic transportation, clothing. What that equates to is if you spend, let's say, $60,000, you're single, you spend $60,000. You might be probably making over $100,000, $90,000 for sure. So you spend every single dime. You're young, and you spend the money. You wish you had more, and that's important. So you spend $60,000. Well, everyone's going to pay the tax. That means you will be paying 20% of that for $12,000. But because you got the check from the government of $1,000 each month, or $12,000 a year, in essence, you have not paid any taxes. In other words, your first $60,000 of consumption is tax-free. Anything above that, you're paying 20%. And obviously, if you're very, very wealthy, have a huge income, you're going to pay what? 20%. Everyone knows what the rate is. It's transparent. No more tax returns. Your gross paycheck is your paycheck. No more deductions because all of those taxes have gone away. Now, what does that encourage? Oh, yes, people are going to be spending their money, but guess what? They're also going to be saving and investing their money. Why? There's no taxes on savings. You're only taxed on consumption. And the way you get this economy turned around, making America great again, is you want entrepreneurs to start new businesses. That's where the new jobs are created. This is a very much an essential reform of how we collect taxes. It does away entirely with tens of thousands of pages. Last time I checked, over 75,000 pages of regulation and the Internal Revenue Code. That's burnt. There's no need for that. It's very simple. The bill, it would be very simple. It's a software change. For whatever money, let's say a grocery store collects, 20% of that is going to the state, and they get a small fee for collecting it, and so does the state, and they transfer it to the federal government. Easy to collect, no more tax returns. And here's the important point. The American people won't want to go back to an income tax system. See, that is the threat, and that's why a lot of money is being spent to defeat this, because people like the status quo. Donald Trump likes the status quo. People are afraid of change. Believe me, I know it. Used to be a project manager for a software company, and people don't like change. Even if it's good for them, it's going to make their life easy, they don't like change. They resist it. And sometimes you got to fire people because they don't get with the program. But once the people say, guess what? I don't have to mess with tax returns. If I'm single, up to $60,000, I don't pay any taxes. Then after that, it's 20%. Terrific. And it takes care of the low-income poor people. It takes care of the middle class. And a husband or wife, that means they would get $24,000 total from the government as a prebate for the taxes on the essentials. After anything they spend above that, it's going to tax at 20%. What does that encourage? It encourages first consumption, but it also encourages savings and in turn investment. And that means business formations and capital formation. We would have a booming, raging, booming economy. And all the money will come back from multinational corporations, U.S. multinational corporations that have operations in Europe, Asia, and around the world. Because the United States will be the place to be. And that means our manufacturing base comes back. Our infrastructure is rebuilt. We have essentially full employment. And the U.S. government Treasury will not be having deficits, they will be having surpluses because we have, in essence, full employment. We'd have an unemployment rate, a U3 rate under 3%. We've had that on rare occasions, but that would be the new normal. And our growth rates would be 4, 5, 6%. So that's why you got to get the economic incentives or taxes right. So I hope he truly believes he's going to have massive tax reform. But Mr. Trump, your current plan is not massive tax reform. It's tweaking it. It's a loser's game. And it is a loser's game. Let's say you got in what you want. The first time the Democrats come back to power, they're going to throw it in a wastebasket. You want something the people get behind. And once they're behind it, they'll repeal the 16th Amendment that gave us the income tax. I'm looking at the time, and I've talked too much, and I apologize because we have somebody else right behind me. So I want to get to this. I went roughly the first third of Donald Trump's speech. Now I'm going to play the second third.
One third of their manufacturing jobs since the Clintons put China into the WTO. 50,000 factories across America have shut their doors in that time. And this factory, because of your great owners, Gabe and Gloria, it's hanging in. But they just told me it's not easy. Almost half of our entire manufacturing trade deficit in goods with the world is a result, and it's the result, of trade with China. It was also Hillary Clinton, as Secretary of State, who shoved us into a job-killing deal with South Korea. As reported by the Economic Policy Institute in May, this deal doubled our trade deficit with South Korea and destroyed nearly 100,000 American jobs. As Bernie Sanders said, Hillary Clinton voted for virtually every trade agreement that has cost the workers of this country millions, millions of jobs. Trade reform and the negotiation of great trade deals is the quickest way to bring our jobs back to our country. To understand why trade reform creates jobs, and it creates a lot of them, we need to understand how all nations grow and prosper. Massive trade deficits subtract directly from our gross domestic product. From 1947 to 2001, a span of over five decades, our inflation-adjusted gross domestic product grew at a rate of 3.5%. However, since 2002, the year after we fully opened our markets to Chinese imports, that GDP growth rate has been cut in half. What does this mean for Americans? Not good. For every 1% of GDP growth we fail to generate in any given year, we also fail to create over 1 million jobs. What a waste, and what a sad thing. America's job creation deficit due to slower growth since 2002 is well over 20 million jobs. And that's just about the number of jobs our country needs right now to put America back to work at decent wages. Wages are very low because there's no competition, and they're going to go up because we're going to thrive again as a country. The Trans-Pacific Partnership is the greatest danger yet. The TPP, as it's known, would be the death blow for American manufacturing. It would give up all of our economic leverage to an international commission that would put the interests of foreign countries above our own. It would further open our markets to aggressive currency cheaters. Cheaters, that's what they are, cheaters. They're not playing by the rules, they're cheating. It would make it easier for our trading competitors to ship cheap, subsidized goods into United States markets while allowing foreign countries to continue putting up barriers in front of our exports, which is what they do. It's very hard to export to their countries. They make it very difficult. We, on the other hand, come on in, everybody, come on in. Bad leadership. The TPP would lower tariffs on foreign cars while leaving in place the foreign practices that keep American cars from being sold overseas. That's not all. Mark my words. China will enter the TPP through the back door at a later date. They are watching. They are studying. They're not in it now, but they're going to be in it. If it's good, they'll be there. By the way, if it's no good, they'll pass. It's the same way, always is. The agreement would also force American workers to compete directly against workers from Vietnam, one of the lowest wage countries on earth. Not only will the TPP undermine our economy, but it will undermine our independence. That's what's happening. The TPP creates a new international commission that makes decisions the American people are no longer given the right to veto. These commissions are great for Hillary's Wall Street funders who can spend vast amounts of money to influence the people on the commissions and the outcomes. It should be no surprise then that Hillary Clinton, according to Bloomberg, took a leading part in drafting the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Please remember that, especially in November. She praised or pushed the TPP on 45 separate occasions and even called it the gold standard. Hillary Clinton was totally for the TPP just a short while ago, but when she saw my stance, which is totally against, she was shamed into saying she would be against it too. And I will tell you, it was the same shame that she had recently, where she was sort of forced into saying radical Islamic terrorism, which she didn't want to say, but she was shamed into that one. But have no doubt that she will immediately approve it if it's put before her. And that is guaranteed. Guaranteed. She will do this just as she's betrayed American workers for Wall Street and throughout her career, her whole career. She has betrayed the American worker. She's trying to put on a good front now. She will betray you again. Her career and her husband have signed so many disasters, and never, ever forget NAFTA. Just never, ever forget it, because you know what it's done, and I know what it's done. And in touring, I've seen the devastation that it's left behind. Here's how it would go. She would make a small token change, declare the TPP pact fixed, and ram it through, and you will suffer. That's why Hillary is now only saying she has problems with TPP in its current form. You know what that means. That means like they'll make a little two-word change and she'll fix it and she'll feel great. But she says in its current form, she can rush to embrace it again, and she will at the earliest opportunity. If the media doesn't believe me, I have a challenge for you and Hillary. Ask Hillary if she's willing to withdraw from the TPP her first day in office and unconditionally rule out its passage in any form. There is no way to fix TPP. We need bilateral trade deals. We do not need to enter into another massive international agreement that ties us up and binds us down like TPP does. A Trump administration will change our failed trade policies, and I mean quickly. Thank you. Here are 7 steps I would pursue right away to bring back our jobs. Number 1, I am going to withdraw the United States from the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which has not yet been ratified. I'm going to appoint the toughest and smartest, and I know them all, trade negotiators to fight on behalf of American workers. I'm going to direct the Secretary of Commerce to identify every violation of trade agreements a foreign country is currently using to harm you, the American worker. I will then direct all appropriate agencies to use every tool under American and international law to end these abuses. And abuse is the right word. Number 4. I'm going to tell our NAFTA partners that I intend to immediately renegotiate the terms of that agreement to get a better deal by a lot, not just a little, by a lot for our workers. And if they don't agree to a renegotiation, which they might not, because they're so used to having their own way, not with Trump. They won't have their own way. then I will submit under Article 2205 of the NAFTA agreement that America intends to withdraw from the deal. Number five, I'm going to instruct my Treasury Secretary to label China a currency manipulator, which should have been done years ago. Any country that devalues their currency in order to take unfair advantage of the United States, which is many countries, will be met with sharply. And that includes tariffs and taxes. Number six, I'm going to instruct the U.S. Trade Representative to bring trade cases against China, both in this country and at the WTO. China's unfair subsidy behavior is prohibited by the terms of its entrance to the WTO, and I intend to enforce those rules and regulations, and basically, I intend to enforce the agreements for all countries, including China. Seven, if China does not stop its illegal activities, including its theft of American trade secrets, I will use every lawful present. Hey, look, this is very easy. This is so easy. I love saying this. I will use every lawful presidential power to remedy trade disputes, including the application of tariffs consistent with Section 201 and 301 of the Trade Act of 1974 and Section 232 of the Trade Expansion Act of 1962. And when they say trade expansion, they're talking about other countries. They're not talking about us because there is no expansion. They get the expansion, we get the joblessness. That's the way it works. Not going to happen anymore. President Reagan deployed similar trade measures when motorcycle and semiconductor imports threatened U.S. industry. I remember. His tariff on Japanese motorcycles was 45%, and his tariff to shield America's semiconductor industry was 100%. And that had a big impact, folks, a big impact. Hillary Clinton and her campaign of fear will try to spread the lie that these actions will start a trade war. We already have a trade war, and we're losing badly.
I will cover the last part of Donald Trump's speech, and it's a great speech. And really, the end of the speech is even better in the next show. But I want to say I totally agree with what Trump is saying. As a matter of fact, we already have a currency war going on that invariably leads to a trade war. We're already at war with China, and Donald Trump understands it. But the problem is, he needs to make the American people understand it, and he needs to connect with them. And the way you connect with everybody, not just the people in manufacturing, is in the tax area. And that's the latter part of his speech. So stay tuned to the next show. I'll go over the final part of his speech and then give my analysis. Thank you for listening. And now, America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. with a voice of Richland College.
You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProcPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.